Well, good morning, everyone. I am grateful that you've created this space to worship with us here at Bellingham Covenant. For those who may be new and tuning in, my name is Phil. I'm the lead pastor here, and grateful for this opportunity now that we have to listen to Scripture together. I hope your Advent season, your Christmas season is going okay. I know it's probably different for many of us than normal, but I'm hoping that at least some of these rhythms of worship, some of these Christmas traditions are continuing for you. One of the traditions that's common in our house, and I suspect probably for many of you, is to rewatch Christmas classics this time of year. And one of the movies that's on our list actually this week is the classic movie Home Alone, the story of boy Kevin McAllister, who was left behind at home as his parents flew to Paris for Christmas. Kind of one of those classic movies that we like to pull up. And as I was looking at our text today, this is actually a very similar plot line. This is like Home Alone, Gospel of Luke edition. We have this scene where Mary and Joseph leave Jesus behind in Jerusalem. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like this where you've lost someone or left someone behind, but it can be a very frightening, scary experience. Back when I was in high school, our youth group up in Abbotsford would often go down to Mexico for our spring mission trip. And on one of these trips, we were on our way home about halfway through California, stopped at a rest stop, and continued on our way. And about an hour after that stop, I looked over to say something to my friend Marianne, who was in the seat behind me, and she wasn't there. And so we proceeded to just kind of look. Maybe she had switched seats, and there was a couple of minutes of chaos as the youth pastor and youth leaders were frantically looking for Marianne, and we realized that we had left her behind. Now, this was in the day and age before cell phones, and also, I don't know if you've experienced this, but a lot of rest stops kind of look the same, so we didn't even know exactly where she was, and it took us about 2 hours to find her. Thankfully, she was still there, everything worked out okay, but we were pretty freaked out for a couple hours. What I'd like to talk about today, as we look at this story of losing Jesus, of leaving Jesus behind, to see this as a metaphor in a way of some of the ways that we have the tendency to leave behind or to lose God when we are caught up in the flurry of activity, when we are fixated on the destination that we want to get to. I want to explore some of the ways that we have a tendency to lose sight, perhaps drift away from Jesus, from Christ. This is in keeping with this series that we're looking at this Advent. We're talking about preparing the way, making room for God in our lives. And we've been looking at these different characters surrounding the coming of Christ and some of the ways that they needed to make room, some of the barriers they needed to overcome. Today, though, you'll notice we're actually fast-forwarding the story a little bit to where Jesus is 12 now, and I actually wanted to do that intentionally, because one of the things I want us to recognize in our spiritual journey is that this process of making room is not just a one-time experience. When we are 12 years into our journey, just like Mary and Joseph, perhaps we still will find ourselves astonished, learning new things, struggling to find God. If we are 20 years, 40 years, this process of making room is always before us as Christians. You know, Advent is historically a season where we celebrate both the first Advent, the first coming of Christ, but also we look ahead to the second Advent, the fullness of Christ's coming in the future. And as we stand under this word today, I want us to be open to the ways that God perhaps wants to come more fully in our experience. Many of us have been through this rhythm of Advent, this liturgy, this season over and over again, but perhaps this season there is some new ways that God wants to come more fully, reveal himself in your life. Perhaps there is some darkness that God wants to illuminate. Perhaps there are areas in our lives where God wants to inhabit more fully. Perhaps there is more transformation that God wants to do in our life. Where does Christ want to come more fully to us this Advent? As we look at the story, I really want to explore two questions. And the first question I want to look at is, what causes us at times to lose Jesus, to leave Jesus behind. But then secondly, I want to explore this hopeful journey of how we might find our way back to Jerusalem, back to those places where we can hear God and re-encounter him in a powerful way. How do we lose Jesus and how do we find our way back? And so Mary and Joseph are on their way home from celebrating the Passover. The journey from Jerusalem to Nazareth is at least 3 days' journey by foot, and they're traveling as a group. Now, it's not an unprecedented experience for them to perhaps have lost sight of Jesus. He is 12, and in Jewish culture, that would mean he would be considered a young adult. He was probably having more independence at this stage in his life. And in this familial culture, there was probably this expectation that people were looking out for each other, this assumption that he was with the other children. And yet when they settled in to rest that evening, this fearful situation set in, for Jesus was not there. As we explore this story, I just want us to notice some of the ways that Mary and Joseph lose sight of Jesus and how we perhaps do the same. You know, like Mary and Joseph, I think sometimes we can lose sight of God when we are just going along with the crowd, caught up with the pace of our culture, going with the grain of our world. I think it's easy in the midst of our spiritual journey to allow the crowd, allow culture to set the pace for us. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves slowly drifting, unaware that God is not with us in the direction that we are heading. I shared a while back just this question that I think we often begin our weeks with. We often, I think, start by asking this question, what do I need to get done? Where do I need to be? And that sets the trajectory. That's the journey that we're on. And in the midst of that, I think sometimes we lose sight of these bigger questions about what is God calling me to do? What's more significant in my life? We allow just the demands, the pace, the expectations of culture to set the trajectory of our journey. In the midst of that, I think we have this tendency to drift. C.S. Lewis has this great observation in his famous book, The Screwtape Letters, about how our journey away from God sometimes happens. Screwtape Letters is a fictional story written from the perspective of a senior demon named Screwtape who is mentoring his nephew, Wormwood, on how to deceive people spiritually. It's a creative, fictional tale that actually really helps us understand and discern where God is at in our experience and some of the pitfalls of the spiritual journey. But in one point in the story, Screwtape writes this to his nephew. He says, "Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Signed, your affectionate uncle, Screwtape." Lewis just makes an observation that sometimes the drift from God is not the radical act of rebellion or the conscious choice, but the safest road is this gradual, gentle slope. There's no milestones. There's no signposts along the way. I don't know if you can trace that in your experience, but I've noticed this over the last decade of ministry as I've walked with a number of people and just through my own acquaintances, seeing this gentle slope, this slow drift that can sometimes happen. Again, not a radical turning from God, but just getting caught up with the crowd, caught up with the pace of culture. As we get busy with work, as we start pursuing other values that are lifted up in our culture, as we get caught up in things like sports and so on, slowly over the years, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves slowly drifting. So one of the ways I think we can lose sight of God is just by getting caught up in the crowd. But the other thing I noticed on this text is that sometimes I think we can lose sight of Jesus even in a religious crowd as we're going about our religious activity. Mary and Joseph are part of a devout group of worshipers. They have just taken this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And isn't it just notable on a metaphorical level that they have lost sight of Jesus even in this midst of this pilgrimage of worship? And I'm wondering if there's just warning to us or an observation here that sometimes, even in the midst of religious activity, we can sometimes lose sight of where God is at in that. We can be really busy with things. Now, religious activities and these acts of worship obviously are significant and they help anchor us. But sometimes I think there can be this smokescreen that we can seem like we're doing well and we're active in all these spiritual activities. But even in the midst of that, there's this danger of not paying attention to what God is calling us to do, just going through the motions or doing all this busy activity. So we can lose sight of Christ, be unaware that he's actually somewhere else. N.T. Wright says that every time we relax and think we've really understood Jesus, he'll be up ahead or perhaps staying behind while we go on without thinking. That's partially some of these ways I think that we can lose sight of God, getting caught up in the pace of culture, sometimes getting caught up in the pace of religious culture. The other thing I noticed that I think is a danger for us on this spiritual journey that can cause us to lose sight of Christ is thinking that we have him completely figured out. There's this detail in the story where Mary and Joseph, when they finally find Jesus, it says they were astonished. And I just wonder, are we ever astonished anymore by Jesus? Open to bigger truth or to be surprised, to rediscover wonder that there's maybe more for us to learn. Here are Mary and Joseph 12 years into this relationship with Jesus, and they're still astonished, still learning. I think there's a challenge to us to make sure we don't feel like we have Jesus completely figured out, have him all defined in our nice little theological boxes. Now, of course, some of the ways God has revealed himself to us are helpful, and those theological concepts are anchoring again for us. I think sometimes the way we might lose sight of God is prematurely thinking that we already know everything we need to know. Can we be open to going deeper this Advent to discover something more? The question this poses, though, to us is, how do we find our way back to Jesus if we find ourselves having drifted or lost sight of that capacity for wonder and astonishment? What does the journey back look like? You know, like Mary and Joseph, I think sometimes the journey back to God will feel like backwards movement. It will feel like setbacks, like frustrations. I just imagine them covering the territory they've just covered, covering old ground, walking back, the disruption. It took 3 days out of their journey. I know in my own experience, as I look back, it's often in those seasons that felt like backwards movement, where I was circling back over old questions, old struggles, where I felt like I was facing setbacks and life wasn't moving the way I wanted it to go. It was in those times that God was often doing his most formative and important work. Those were seasons of discovery. I want to encourage you this morning to be open to the way that God might be at work, revealing, forming, transforming us in this current setback that we are going through, the disruption of this year. Can we not write off this journey that might feel like we're going backwards? Could we be open to the way that this might be a journey back to God, a deeper discovery of God? Now, these aren't wasted times for us. The journey back to God often feels like backwards movement. You know, I think the journey back to God will also call us to rediscover sacred places where we can hear God more clearly. I think it's notable in this story that it's not till the third day that it dawns on Mary and Joseph to check the temple. They look everywhere else besides the temple to try and find Jesus. And I wonder if that just maybe names something in our experience. I think sometimes we are looking everywhere else except those sacred places to find God. I think sometimes we're seeking transcendence and meaning and peace in all the wrong places. We're seeking it in some of the counterfeit gods that our culture lifts up as we worship our work, as we seek release and joy through entertainment and all these types of things. Perhaps God is saying, come back to the temple. Come back to those sacred places. Jesus says, of course I would be here in my Father's house. I'm wondering what those sacred places are for you. Where are those places where you're able to sit with Christ and hear God more clearly? Perhaps an even more pertinent question right now, when we aren't always physically in this temple, this sacred space here, I want us to hold on to the hope that God can be found in places throughout our world, that God speaks not only in corporate places, corporate temples, but are there places where you are able to focus and hear God's voice? For me right now, I've sensed a call back to nature. Through this pandemic, I found myself even more attached to these weapons of mass distraction in our culture, the cell phones, the habits of entertainment. That's how I've been coping. And I've sensed, as I've just reflected on this text, a call back to those places, those natural places where I often can hear God more clearly. Where is God perhaps calling you this Advent to come back to a sacred place, a sacred rhythm where you can recover his voice? As we continue this journey towards Christmas, I want to end by just this last observation that I noticed in this text. And it's really interesting that at the beginning of the story, Mary and Joseph are the ones that are setting the trajectory of their journey. Even just grammatically, they are the subject of the verb to go. It says they went to Jerusalem. They started back to Nazareth. But there's a really interesting shift that happens in verse 51, where it says now that he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth and they were with him. And just this subtle grammatical shift, we see now that Jesus is the subject of this verb that sets direction for our path. This Advent, I would invite you to find those places where you can sit and listen and recover the voice of God. And as we do so, can we then let him, let Jesus set the trajectory for our journey? As we step into the new chapter in our life, as we step into a new year together, can we pause enough and listen so that he can then lead us into the path he has for us? Friends, this Advent, this Christmas, let's not leave Jesus behind. I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that you are a God who longs to be with us, a God who desires to direct our paths in ways of life and hope. Lord, we lament and confess the ways that we sometimes forge on without you, that we get caught up in the pace of a busy world, sometimes even a busy church. Lord, I pray that you would call us back to those temples, those sacred spaces where we can sit with you, hear your voice, so that we can discover the path you want to set us on. Lord, this Advent, would you direct us more fully into the paths that lead to your kingdom, your will? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.